Proverbs for the day, November the 6th, Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 24. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now these words are given to us providentially, inspirationally, supernaturally. They're given to us as believers. And the closer we get to the end of all the ages culminating together, and the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ truly being King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all things, the closer we get to that, the worse this world will get when it comes to dysfunctionality and all that kind of stuff. And so, we find here in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 24, first of all, that righteousness is the standard. I say that because in verse 20 it says, My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. And perhaps you haven't encountered it, but I sure have, where someone says this. They're carrying on a dysfunctional life, and they're saying, well, you know, that's just my family line. That's the way my dad and my mother did it. And righteousness is always the standard when you find a rule, a precept, a teaching in the Bible. A dysfunctional, a drug dealing, a deceiving, a death causing, a damning heritage is not the recommendation here. We are not to perpetuate the unrighteousness of our family tree. If I was to go out and live like that and think like that and do like that, and then a son or a daughter read this and say, well, it says keep my father's commandment. Well, we'd have to ask ourselves this. He said, let the dead bury the dead. The Lord Jesus did. The Apostle Paul gave us examples of having spiritual fathers and, of course, a heavenly father. We know New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, is what the Bible says. And so we better stop and slow down long enough to understand that righteousness is the standard. And I only say that because I have actually encountered people who struggled with that. I've encountered people that had that question in their mind. Is that what it says? You see, the thing is, when we come to Jesus Christ, everything changes as far as God's order and God's role in our life, as far as precepts and teachings, and righteousness becomes the standard. He says there, bind them continually and tie them about thy neck. And then in verse 22, when it goeth, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. So what we want to do is we want to be certain. We want to be certain of what we believe. And you should always get the most clear teachings, the foundational teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6 says, if a man won't listen to the words of Jesus Christ, he says he's proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions. In other words, there is a deep pride that tries to even challenge the words of Jesus Christ. All the words of Christ taken together. And so there's a certain kind of training that's important. Now, you know, you take us the salvation of us Gentiles, all right? And we get a spiritual father, the heavenly father. We get spiritual fathers in the faith. We get the New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. When we come to Christ, so much changes for us. And so, in the New Testament sense, we've got to remember that we've got to apply that, that righteousness is the standard. It's not that we are trying to purposely go in some other direction. It's that if we follow this book, if we let God work in our heart, if we let Him work grace and truth, if we worship Him in spirit and in truth, then it's going to do that. It really is. So righteousness is the standard, and then restrictions are safe. Restrictions are safe. Why? To keep thee. To keep thee. You keep God's ways, and God's ways will keep you. In verse 21, he said, bind them. If you bind them to you, they'll bind you to them. It says, it'll lead thee. When thou goest, it shall lead thee and keep thee. It says here that when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee in your subconscious. You know, if you put the scriptures in and you put some of those good hymns in, and let me say this, the manner in which you and I hold this book, this authorized King James, providentially, supernaturally given book, the way in which we hold it will affect our very subconscious in life. Why? Because he said, when you awake, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Oh man, when you wake up, you might have a good hymn on your mind, or a song, or a spiritual song, or verses, or sermons. You see, God Almighty has put within us the capacity for that to happen. Restrictions are safe. They're safe. Restrictions about what you listen to and watch and how you talk and how you think, and restrictions, and it will keep us. We keep them and they keep us. We keep His words. We keep His standard of righteousness, and it will keep us. Isn't it amazing that of all the things that was the initial sin in the universe, before Adam ever stepped on earth, it was pride. It was pride. Man, that is just, to the human mind, to the human spirit, that is so humbling. Because in reality, there was everything of pride written all over Eve's fall, Adam's disobedience. See, with Adam, it was a love thing. It was. It was. And the old serpent appealed to Eve's pride, and the next thing you know, all of us, the human race, is in a big, big mess. And I'm appealing to you today to understand that at the heart of so many problems is pride. You've heard it said. I've said it. I know it's true. I have. My greatest enemy is Mike. My greatest enemy is Mike Gilbert. Your greatest enemy is yourself. Your greatest one. Because there's so much pride in us. But the thing about restrictions are safe. And they're put there to keep us from falling ourselves. So these are good things, he writes. And notice along with this, for the commandment, verse 23, is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs are a sure way for us to be kept by God. Reproofs. I'm amazed that there is a generation coming up, and they're happy to take on the role of reproving. But you seldom see them receive a reproof. And I understand that it's always been there for 6,000 years. But I also understand that he talks about being disobedient to parents as when they're children, they fuss and fight and fight the restrictions. They get older, they fuss and fight the Bible. They'll fuss and fight their Bible teachers and stuff. It is a strong thing in this generation. We see young people today that just are determined to go their own way. We see young people today that are determined to grab new teachings and new ways to serve their own purpose. And the problem is, reproofs are the sure way. You take combat training or any kind of training where you're going to do dangerous things in life. You take somebody driving these big old trucks and the CDL, commercial driver's license training. You take anything that's done like that where they do yearly reviews and all that sort of thing. Why? Because reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Not just plain old reproofs, but reproofs of instruction. We have to receive that thing. See, reproofs are a sure way for the Word of God to keep us. I can't think of a day that goes by that something in that book, or something in a devotion I'll read, or something, even as I'm praying and thinking about Scripture, or singing a hymn, where reproof doesn't enter into it. Because reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's a blessing. That's a special blessing. And so let us today, let's embrace God's reproof. let us receive this thing and let God fulfill in our hearts and in our minds what it is He wants to do with us, and let His words, let His commandments, and let the teachings of those that God has put to disciple us and help us, and let us as disciples make sure we're sure of what it does, who we're helping. But what we want to do is we want to help people. Listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And then what? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Truly furnished. So what we have to do as believers, what we have to do as those who are setting out to help others also, to teach others also, remember, reproofs are the sure way. Righteousness is the standard. If you're a leader, if you're a husband, if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're an influencer at church, if you serve the office of any sort of pastor within any flock, remember, righteousness is the standard. Doing right. If you're helping disciple young people, help them understand that there's nothing in that book that tells them to repeat the things that were wrong or negative in their past. Restrictions are safe. I'm glad God put restrictions in my life early on before some of these guys that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness could have got hold of me. And then reproofs are a sure way to keep thee.